So the present moment is where you can find real deep peace. And sometimes you don't need to do anything more than that. Just be here and let the seat become really warm and comfortable. All desires wanting you will just disappear from you. Which means the only thing left is contentment. And as contentment builds and builds and builds, just happy to be here. That's why the seat gets softer, warmer and more comfortable. And then you get into the delightful meditations. It's a little bit about learning how to be here. But soften the past and future first of all. Excellent. So that was the instructions, the 15 minutes, which I do every meditation class, just to give another angle, another bit of training on how to meditate. So now we're going to do the meditation for 45 minutes. I will ring the gong so you've got nothing to worry about. In fact, today we'll make it different. We'll only meditate for one moment. And it's just now. And one of those moments I will ring the bell. And that will be 45 minutes. There's no real time. Just get in the present moment and then just close and have a wonderful, wonderful journey. So, getting yourself comfortable like I'm going to do now. And closing your eyes. Just to make things a little bit different, because I always tend to do the same thing all the time. Just let's get into the present moment first of all, before we even worry about how our body is positioned. So, imagine the two suitcases exercise. That you have been carrying these two heavy shopping bags or suitcases, depending on whether you like going shopping or you like going traveling. So carrying two heavy shopping bags, you've been carrying them a long time. Imagine them. Imagine these two bags and your arms ache and your shoulders hurt. You've done that before, so you know what I mean. And you imagine that. And you visualize those shopping bags and you notice on the outside of the shopping bag in your left hand, you can read the letters P-A-S-T, the past. Because in that shopping bag, you carry all of your memories, both good and bad. The old ones down the bottom, the ones from today at the top. It's just so burdensome having to carry all that stuff around. Your memories, mostly bad ones, sometimes years and years ago. Good memories in there as well, but mostly negative ones. And you notice how heavy they are and how it tires you, how it weakens your mind. And the shopping bag in the right hand, you visualize that, and on the outside you can see the letters F-U-T. U-R-E, future. Because in that shopping bag, it's even heavier. There's all your fears, your anxieties, and your hopes and dreams as well. Everything to do with the future. Your plans for this meditation have just been put on the top. You're carrying that around, making the burden so heavy. And you've been carrying the future around so long that your mind aches. Just the same way the shopping bag makes your arm ache. And you imagine it as best you possibly can. Carrying two heavy bags. Past in your left hand, future in your right hand. And then just focus on the shopping bag in your left hand, the past. How heavy it is. And then you imagine your back leaning to the left. Which allows you to lower the left-hand shopping bag to the ground. And when it meets the ground, the burden disappears. The floor takes the weight now. And that allows you to let go of the handle. Imagine letting go, separating your hand from the bag so that your left arm can raise up to your left side. Your hand and shoulders can relax, recuperate, and the ache has a chance to heal as you get the energy back. And then you focus on the shopping bag in the right hand, representing the future. It's so heavy, feel the weight, imagine the burden, and then imagine leaning to the right so you can lower the future bag to the floor. And when it meets the floor, a wonderful moment, it's not heavy anymore. But now you let go of the handle. As you separate, put distance between you and the future. So that you, your right hand, can also just relax, hanging loosely by your side, re-energizing, healing. You put down the future. You're not carrying it. And then, in this imaginary exercise, standing there, free of the burden of the past, free of the burden of the future. Because you're standing in the magic place, you look down at those two bags and your feet are between them. You're standing in this magic place between the past and the future called now. The present, just here. And that's the place you can rest. And please don't put your hand into those bags and pick up stuff until the meditation is finished. Those bags will be there for you, unfortunately, for you to pick up and carry later on. But now you're just having a rest, a break, which is so important. Let go of the past and future. What remains? Just now. The present moment is like a hard, uncomfortable, cold stone bench when you first sit on it. But just stay here. It gets softer and more comfortable with every second of present moment awareness. And in the present moment, now you can start feeling your body. How's your legs? They good? How's the bottom? Is it well adjusted on the seat? How's your back? Did it need adjustment? Where are your hands? They're good? How's the face? Muscles around the eyes and mouth, do they need to be adjusted? Loosened, let go? In the present moment, you have more awareness of how your body is situated, its posture. And this is a great time to adjust it if you need to. And still in this present moment, because feelings in the body only occur now, which means that they tie you to the present moment. If you're aware of bodily feelings, yeah, one of the purposes is to have a bit of physical comfort while you're meditating. The other purpose is it reinforces present moment awareness. So now, once your posture is good, any aches or pains anywhere in the body, zoom in on them. Be aware. Pretty good today. I'm just looking for something inside me. Check the usual suspects, you know, any indigestion in the tummy, any tightness in the bowels, nothing there really. Any headache, irritation, there's a slight irritation in the nose. I'm going to focus on that. Zoom in on it. but not just zooming in, then I get this beautiful kindness. Just like I remember my mother tucking me in bed when I was a kid. Just the kindness would relax me and make me go off to sleep. Just the kindness to my nose. And I can feel the irritation get less. Mindfulness, the awareness, allows you to see things change, to get feedback. You soon learn how to take an irritation or even a pain and lessen it. Still focusing on my nose. If you got a cancer, focus on that part which is cancerous. Be kind. You can feel there's an imbalance there, there's an ache, there's a heaviness. Focus on it and give this beautiful kindness, letting it be. Opening the door of your heart to this moment, to this feeling. But make sure you're still focusing on a feeling in the body and not going picking up some of the stuff from the two bags on the floor. No past, no future, just being here. With your body, with the feelings. Being with your body. Please stay in the present moment with your body. Because when the body really relaxes, when you take the irritations and ease them away, the body feels really delightful. It's one of the reasons why people go to resorts by the beach. Laying on the recliner without a care in the world, the body feels just really great. No tightness, no tension anywhere. And it's such an enjoyable experience, feeling your body relax and at peace. Open, free. So nice that it keeps my attention there. I don't wander around because the delight of physical relaxation. And look through my body, I can't find a tight place anywhere. That's going to keep me healthy. And when you're ready, you let go of the body and go inside to your mind, your emotional world. First of all, checking out your peaceometer. How peaceful are you? How calm? Or opposite, agitation, tiredness, restlessness. Just to know how peaceful you are. Without judging, just to know, am I peaceful? Am I tired? Am I aware? How peaceful am I? Once you are aware of the right thing, it's so easy to develop that. Call it the peaceometer, like the speedometer in a car. You can move that needle down, 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 down to more peace, more relaxation. When you let things be. Just being peaceful. Are you peaceful? Know that. Experience it. Peaceful. No past, no future. Just now. Nothing to do. Just now. You need a future to want something. So have no wanting by letting go of the future. No ill will. You have to remember how your meditation was a moment ago to get disappointed. When you're always really sharply in this moment, future doesn't matter. Nor does the past. And then if it happens, as it usually does, you suddenly become aware of your breathing. It's breathing in, breathing out. Allow the mind to settle with an old friend. My breath. Breathing in, peace, breathe out, let go. But only one breath at a time. Only one moment of breath at a time. Always now. Not even worrying how much time has gone. Not being concerned in the slightest of how much time is left. We're in the present. Just now, just being here with the breath. I will now be quiet until the end of the meditation. very close to the end of the meditation now. How do you feel? Why? What worked? What didn't? Ring the gong 3 times. Please wait and listen to every ringing of the gong when the last vanishes, come out for your meditation. Good, there we go. So I don't know, it was online. You got any questions from overseas?
Yeah.
Over there, that's pretty quick. Hi, Crystal. Very good. So, always enjoy where we get our questions from, because it's broadcast live on the internet. People listen from all over the place. And today we have from Los Angeles, from Kazakhstan, and haven't got this in Sandip anyway. From Los Angeles, how do I meditate through strong emotions such as guilt? I find it hard to do loving kindness meditation when I feel I do not deserve self-compassion. So if you have really heavy guilt, again, it's past. So see if you can look at the past and give it such beautiful kindness. So if you try and get rid of the guilt, if you try and force it away, you feed it. So allow it to come up. You know, sometimes my job is listening to people with all sorts of emotions and past, and they come up, and it's great when they tell it to me. The only reason why they can tell it to somebody else is because then they're listening to it themselves. And they realize when they bring it up, it's not such a big thing. If a fellow who's murdered 2 people can go up and say it's only 2 bad bricks, then I don't know what we can't let go of. So, again, self-compassion, the 2 bad bricks in the wall, brilliant story, which means that don't focus on the things you've done wrong. Focus on the other party. Don't ignore your mistakes and your cruelty. But you look at your kindness, your goodness. And you focus on that as well as your mistakes. And then it's this beautiful wall. Yeah, it's got 2 bad bricks. But then, of course, every week I say this. You also go for a walk in the forest and see all the crooked trees, the ones which have got damage on the bark. They're the most beautiful. And you can relate to that. I did some bad things, I feel guilty, I'm damaged, I'm crooked. But you see it as beautiful, rather than as a failing. You realize you belong. And from Los Angeles, you belong in humanity. You're part of the world. And so you have loving kindness with wisdom as well. And then when you see all the beautiful stuff in you, you deserve to be, which is what compassion really is. When I just focus on the 2 bad bricks, I wanted to destroy the wall. Couldn't stand it. I thought it was fatally flawed. If you think you are fatally flawed, then of course you can never forgive yourself. When you see there is something worth forgiving, all the beautiful bricks, and then the wall's not such a big burden anymore. It's not a worry. You don't feel so guilty and upset about it, which means you are compassionate and wise. You've got a proper attitude towards whatever you did. And what that means is you softened it. You let it go. And everybody deserves compassion. This lady's from LA. please read the first part of your constitution. From LA, you have the right to the pursuit of happiness. And the pursuit of happiness in meditation is one of the best pursuits, best happiness you could ever get. So from Los Angeles, use your constitutional rights as a US citizen to pursue happiness. You deserve it. It's embraced in your rights. So go for it. You deserve forgiveness. From Kazakhstan, my family thinks that meditation is a time wasting. Every time I sit down, I feel guilty. I try to convince myself, but it seems to work very little. What should I do? Don't look at it as time wasting. Harvard Business School called it an investment of time. Just like you take some money, instead of spending it and enjoying it, you get it in shares in a company or something. You can't see your money, it's just numbers on a piece of paper. But you can't spend it. It's invested. And you invest it because you get returns later on. So yeah, half an hour, 45 minutes of sitting down doing nothing. That's an investment of your time. You get it back afterwards by being more healthy, more wise, more compassionate, more emotionally stable. So you don't, 45 minutes of meditation, if you didn't do that, you know, spend all this time waiting in doctor's surgeries for appointments and going to hospitals and really wasting a lot of your time and your money as well, and just having to go to marriage counselors and therapists. This is an investment from Kazakhstan of your time. You get it back afterwards with higher productivity, whatever work you do, higher quality of life. Not so much time wasted sorting out the problems of life. So, tell your family meditation is not a time wasting, it's an investment of time. And lastly, Sandip, while meditating I have seen many thoughts appearing. What is your suggestion? Should I try and force the thoughts to disappear or let them pass? It takes a lot of meditation time. Indeed, if you just let it go, without disengaging from them. Why do the thoughts keep on going on and on and on and on and on? So don't use force, find out why they keep going on. And there's two reasons. One is you're afraid of silence. The thinking world is your comfort zone. The simile of the prisoner who's so been in jail such a long time, they are happy in prison. Weird it might seem. And when they said, you're going to be released tomorrow, what will I do? I know prison, but I don't know freedom. People know the thinking mind, and they're very comfortable there. But when there's nothing to think about, when there's silence, they feel afraid of peace. That's the first reason why we think too much, because we're afraid of not thinking, not used to it. What is it? And the second reason, of course, is when we have a thought, we get so engaged and enmeshed in the thinking. You know the old simile, I can't beat it. I just saw this even just a few days ago. I just came back from Thailand on Friday, usually overnight in Singapore. So it's Friday morning, just walking in Terminal 3 past the sports lounge. And in the sports lounge there's always men there watching the soccer. And you see them watching the soccer and then shouting, offside! That was a foul! You can't give them a red card. They're shouting at the screen. And they are in Singapore. And the match happened in the north of England. Doesn't matter how loud you shout, you cannot hear it in UK. And it's also a repeat anyway. It happened a couple of days ago. It's all over. But people do that. It's a fascinating psychology to see, why do people do that? Why do women start crying in a movie? They're watching it. It's not real. They're not really dead. They're not really falling in love. It's not really the end of the world, which is happening. But why do you get involved in a movie? You let yourself get entangled in it. because we like drama. If there's no drama in your life, then you, can I say this? I think then you join the Buddhist Society of West Australia committee. Get some more drama. I'll just check if there's no one here. Oh, there is, sorry. Oops. No, they do it for service. They have too many times to make dramas happen. They don't need to let it go. It doesn't matter. Forgive. Who cares? But we'd like to make dramas. And we'd watch soap operas. They're scary sometimes. What do you do that for? Because we don't like peace. We want things to happen. Things to think about. Rumours to spread. It doesn't matter if the rumour's right or not. As long as there's a little bit there that we can, yeah, really get involved in it. So anyway, that's why thoughts appear. So if you can actually see them for what they are, don't get entangled. Stand back from the football match. It's only a football match. Big deal. You can't shout. It's all over. Finished. You can't. Because if you're actually watching a football match, watching a cricket match, watching a movie on your TV, you get sucked into the screen. It's like your mind gets pulled into the TV. And then it's, you know, in Manchester United soccer ground in the north of England. That is why you shout. Because you actually perceive you're in the ground. The movie, you actually feel that you're actually in the movie set. That's why, you know, the heroine about to get killed. Look out behind you. You shout that like that because you actually perceive you're inside the action. And that's exactly what you happen with the thoughts. You perceive you're inside that fantasy. That you are reliving the memory. You're actually in it so you can change it and mess around with it. And because of that, it's your life. It's like you're being again in the movie. You're alive in the soccer match. So, thoughts are the same. Stand back from the thoughts. Imagine the space between the observer and whatever it is you're thinking. As soon as you can put space between you and the thoughts, you're not literally sucked into it. You realize you're just in Singapore airport. And the soccer match is over there, you know, in England. You can't influence it at all. You don't get pulled in. The movie is just a movie, that's all. You know, I've seen it many times. They don't really die. And that means the thoughts put space there and they don't have the emotional pull which get you sucked in and then you become the thoughts. And they carry on and on and on and on and on and on endlessly for your whole life. And other lives as well. So just put some space there. Here am I watching, the thoughts are over there. You don't get enmeshed in them, entangled in and pulled in. Then they don't last. They can't. There's no fuel of emotional entanglement to keep them going. And that's great. But sometimes people want to be emotionally entangled because they're afraid of peace. They think peace is boring. What I said today is not the best simile, but it's accurate. It's like sitting on a cold stone bench. At first, the fantasy, the memory, the thought is much more attractive than actually sitting still. For many people, it's much more attractive to actually to watch the latest movie than come to the Buddhist Society and sit down and do meditation. At first. But if you really know the meditation, it's much better than any movie. This is peace, this is real. So if you can learn the value of letting go of the thoughts, not getting entangled, you know, it's a worthwhile thing to train. And after a while, when you've meditated a lot, you know that as a truth. Thoughts suck. They never get me anywhere. Just a lot of suffering. But peace, stillness, that is incredible. We know the difference. It's no contest anymore. It's just getting you to experience thought-free hours. Not just moments. Minute after minute, when not a thought comes up in your mind. Peace at last. Wow. That's nice. And when you realize that, you'll know why it's important to put space between you and the thoughts. So you're not inside of them. And it means they easily let go. But you've got to want to do that first. You know that's the solution, but I don't want the solution. I want my thoughts. So, that is the answer. Now, you don't know why we get attached to things like thoughts, even though they're nasty, they're full of dung. Read the story of the worm in the pile of dung. Doesn't want to leave. It's my dung. It's my home. It's beautiful. It's warm. It's fragrant. And it's my food. That's what worms feel like, piles of dung. That's like thinking, oh, I like my thoughts. And so it's very hard for me to pull you out of thinking, or anyone to pull you out of thinking. You know how to do it, but do you really want to do it? Okay, any questions from the floor here? From Perth? No? Good, 4:15. So now I don't have to do any overtime. I was reading on the newspaper this morning they're going to ban penalty rates. So we have to finish on time now. Okay, here we go. Just about.